In today's episode, Amanda and I interview each other about some of the purchases in our lives we regret the most and appreciate the most. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a pretty good one. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Wallet Win Podcast. Each week, we take a look at a different piece of the personal finance puzzle. I'm Jonathan Texera.
And I'm Amanda Texera. We're your guides on your journey to getting out of debt, building wealth, and changing the world through generosity.
Here we go.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, honey, I've got this idea for
that's interesting.
This podcast episode. I thought we could just have a conversation about some of our purchases we've regretted in life.
Oh, okay. Just talking about our biggest regrets.
I know we've talked about some regrets before in the past, but I thought just maybe a little bit more normal. Mm-hmm. That was bad. That was dumb.
How about rounding it out with regret and thing we're happiest?
Oh, okay.
We purchase as well. And this conversation, hopefully it'll be civil. I'm just kidding. It will be. I want it to be something we can invite other people into to model how to have a conversation about money that feels totally normal, safe, protected, non-judgmental, and fun.
Yeah. And this is a conversation. It's not necessarily like we're just learning. We're going to learn a little bit more about each other right here.
We are.
And help probably each other learn a little bit more about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and kind of in some ways, that's the goal. That's the end goal. It's not to get us ready for something else. It's not, we're having a conversation about money because we're making a budget right now or anything like that. We're just chatting about money because money is a topic that you can talk about.
And it doesn't have to be painful. Doesn't have to feel like you're pulling teeth. Doesn't have to feel like somebody's going to run and bolt to the other room. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to get scolded or reprimanded or given an allowance or any of these toxic behaviors that often accompany a financial conversation.
Mm-hmm. And it's not in reaction to some purchase I made last week or anything like that.
Those conversations have been had.
Those happen. But this isn't one of those. And these don't have to be like that.
No.
All right. So that's...
That's the premise.
That's what we're doing today.
This is going to be fun.
It's kind of fun. Who's going first?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. So, how about you? Let's put you on the grill first.
Okay.
I'm a slower thinker.
Sure.
All right. So, your biggest regretted purchase.
I'm going to say a purchase I regret.
Okay, a purchase you
because
regret.
There's always going to be, I'll probably always go, oh, but there was that
oh,
one.
Oh, there was this one, that one.
There have certainly been regrets and purchases made since this purchase.
Sure, but this one stands out.
This one stands out and maybe, you know, I just got to talk about it and move on because this one's from like 11 years ago.
Ooh. I bet I also had a problem with it.
When I think of purchase I regret, like, boom, this pops to the top of the list. It's been sticking out like a sore thumb for these last 11 years.
Ooh.
So I just need to move on so I can think of all my other bad examples.
We need to heal.
Yeah. So it was a Dell Inspiron something netbook. So this was in that strange period of time.
Oh, I remember this little thing.
It was that period of time in between smartphones and tablets. So you had a smartphone and everybody started understanding, hey, it would be cool if I could do a bunch of stuff and not have to lug my computer around because my laptop, had to have a bit of a lap.
Like giant.
Or, I mean, like, I had a MacBook, but like it didn't last very long. It was a 2 hour battery, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
So you couldn't do much. And it was heavy. So my excuse, so I had an excuse for buying this thing. So this was a Dell. And
yeah, what was the justification here?
And it was probably
so you had a smartphone, maybe
$200 or $300.
Smartphone, laptop.
This laptop, the screen.
You also had a desktop.
No.
I swear you.
No.
At your parents' house. But
It's probably like an old one that I built school or something. Fine. This was the screen on this thing. I don't even know. It was 7 inches. Mm-hmm. It was tiny. It couldn't fit a real keyboard. The keyboard was tiny.
The
trackpad was, I don't know, maybe 3 inches wide. And it was terrible.
Really?
The trackpad was terrible. The keys were all small and cramped. The screen was bad. It was a bad screen. And it was small. But the battery life on this thing was incredible.
Infinite.
It was like 10 hours or something. You could carry it around. It was small. It's like the.
Why did you get it, though?
So, okay. I'll tell you my excuse, and then I'll tell you why.
Oh.
They were different. Okay. One was my justification.
Let's uncover them.
My justification was we worked as missionaries with Focus then, and we fundraised our money.
Yeah.
And the software that we would use to manage the money in and all that stuff,
sure,
it ran on Windows.
Yes, it did.
And I had a Mac.
Oh.
And
wasn't there some sort of...
Wait.
Okay.
I had a Mac, and it was a pain. Like, you could try to maybe do this thing as a workaround, but it didn't really work. Or you... Like, it just didn't... It was bad. It was real bad. So I thought, I'll do my low cost Windows machine and I can bring it around. I can, you know, take it on campus and type my stuff. I also got it. So that was my justification.
Mm-hmm. So
I bought the thing. You know what happened the week after I bought it?
What?
Somebody came out with a way to run that program on a Mac.
Oh, man. I did not know that. Okay, so
my justification was like very thin at that point. Now,
out the window.
So then, what I did, I bought that one in particular. That particular model. This is really why, because you could hack together like a patched up version of the Mac operating system and run it on it. So I never had.
I
never ran Windows. I turned it into a crappy Mac.
Oh wow!
And the screen was so small. No screen is ever that small. So anyway, I had to run this thing that would shrink all the windows.
You love that kind of stuff.
I do. So it was my little tinker guy.
It was your tinker
and I could,
tool.
You could take it around. It was just so cool. Netbooks were so cool back then. This idea,
even
you could have a computer with me.
Functional.
But it was cool. I mean, it was so bad. The version of Windows that came with it was so low powered. You weren't even able to change the background on the desktop.
Wow.
It's like, we don't even need that feature on this. So it was crappy. But anyway, I had fun.
You got the job done.
I bought the thing. It was probably, I don't even know what it was. It probably $300 or so.
Sure.
Maybe a little under, maybe a little over, somewhere in there.
And how you bought it was, hey, it's $300. My account says $350.
I bank balance budgeted while I was at missionary training when all my expenses were a lot lower because I didn't have to buy food for a month.
Right. Okay. So it was like, I don't have as much going out. Might as well eat into that.
And I'm doing all this fundraising while I'm here. So that was my miss. So my regret.
You didn't have it long, though. I remember you.
No. I gave it away.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to sell it.
You could hardly sell that
thing. I gave it to somebody, and they were going to pay me, and then it didn't happen. That's fine.
Okay. It's fine.
It's fine. And I was, so I regret it because, one, I didn't have the money for it.
Sure.
There were other things I probably needed that money for that month, and then those had to go on the credit card or something like that, mm-hmm. right? That's got me into trouble later. So it wasted my time, it wasted my money, and it was me, or I probably regret it more now than I did then, because I look back on it, I can see things better, right? I've grown up a bit, hopefully. And I see I was just chasing a cool, fun toy when I didn't have time or money for a cool new toy. Right.
It wasn't very, it wasn't justified with reality.
No. But mind. I went after it. And yeah. so that's what made it a pain.
And then it caused you harm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was fallout. Yeah. So it wasn't any good because, so I was, yeah, I was just chasing, it was peak Jonathan loving and thinking about and scheming to get
tech.
Tech. Mm-hmm. That was peak that. I still got that bone in my body.
Oh, you have got,
I've got that bone in my body.
Every year on Jonathan's Amazon wish list.
I'm updating it this year. There's new models
every
coming up.
Every year on Amazon wish list, Jonathan fills this thing.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, you've got better.
I'm pining after, in particular, an e-paper notepad.
Yeah, okay, I got that.
But they are like $400.
I know, but you usually fill it with
so
like
it never comes, it never gets bought.
Eight
and
or
I
nine
know it.
$500 to $1,000 item that no one is going
it's
to
it's called a wish list. They're wishes.
Things perpetually remain.
It's a wish list.
You love tech. And when you're a tech person, you could go so broke.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you could spend all your money constantly getting the
there's
new
one
tech.
More piece of tech to new, fill out the
exactly.
kit. And then you know what? You,
really
when you
could.
Fill that out, finally.
There's a new update.
There's an update. Oh,
mm-hmm.
junk.
New feature.
That I don't have that feature on mine. And it's never going to get. It's not getting upgraded to it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need the new one.
It doesn't happen
I was
just
in that
with tech.
Spot, man.
It happens. Car people. Happens
sure,
car people.
Sure, sure.
It can happen in anything. Cloth diaper world. You wouldn't believe that, but I've seen it. People hoarding mm-hmm. and collecting hundreds of cloth diapers.
Yep. So it was
anyway,
it was peak,
okay,
just
so
me
peak
never
that.
Being satisfied with what I had and wanting the next thing. Like I identify that purchase as the I don't know if you call it the pinnacle, maybe the deepest valley.
right, okay.
Of that. That's why I regret it.
Well, let's redeem it.
Okay.
Let's flip this on its head. And let me ask you, what's a purchase you've made that you're really proud of and you're so glad that you made it and you're really happy with it? I just said the same thing three times.
Yeah. I'm going to put the disclaimer. I know there have been purchases that I probably enjoy more.
Sure.
Or I'm happier about.
Okay.
But as of late, so this, I mean, this is, maybe this is a bit of the human, at least me being a human, right? The bad thing from 11 years is what sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
I can barely remember anything good in those 11 years. So I got to go to the last year or so to find the one I'm like, yeah, baby. So I know there have been a lot of good ones. I'm sure I'm missing them. But I would say I'm really happy that I bought the board game Wingspan.
Oh.
And you have no idea because you've yet to play it with me.
No, I have not yet played it with you, but
which is
heard.
Good because I'll never win once you start playing.
I've heard all about this game, Wingspan. Any game that we play together, usually I really enjoy it.
Yes.
There's been only a couple of games you introduced me to that I'm like,
you're gonna love
I'm good.
Thing.
I'm good on that. I don't need to play it again. If it's anything, if it's half as good as have you
so
described
good.
It,
it's so good.
I know I'm going to be all about
this game.
But you love this game. We were on a hike this last weekend, and we were at a place that is known for bird watching.
Uh-huh.
And you were bringing up all the birds in your
from
wingspan
the game. Oh,
game.
I know that one from the game. Because this game, you're building a bird habitat. A bird, like you gain birds. And then they
there's
can lay, it sounds really dumb, but they can lay eggs. They can cache food. Sometimes you have to lay eggs so you can pick up bird cards. So you gain birds into your three levels of environment, the wetlands, the trees, and then what's in the middle, like the bush or whatever. I forget what's in the middle. But anyway, it's so entertaining. And what's so great about it.
It looks beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous. The bird illustrations are better than what you'd find in most bird books. They're so good to look
at.
So
it's not just a fun way of passing time. And
there's little tiny
yourself,
eggs.
You are a detail person.
There's small eggs.
So you're noticing all that.
There's all sorts of great stuff going on. The strategy is incredible. And what I really appreciate, because I've got someone who takes a little while to warm up to a new game.
Mm-hmm.
there's an incredible one player option.
I know. I was so happy.
Where I'm playing against the AI, but it, you know, it's okay on its turn. It's going to do this or that. And so I'm just in my little bird world. The other night you were, I think maybe at your women's group or taking a bath, something, right? I had like an open hour. It's like, I'm going to go play wing. I came downstairs. I put YouTube on the TV. I looked up at it's 4 hours of like a guy's backyard of birds at the bird feeder with all the bird noises.
You,
I put that on.
Nerd.
I set up the bird game and I got my highest score ever.
Woo!
It was incredible.
Okay.
And I got it on sale.
You did?
I did.
Oh, excellent.
So I scored it. I just got a great deal on it and it's been a great purchase.
Ah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. So it seems almost like, I mean, the purchase you regretted,
mm-hmm.
and then this purchase, both of them were things that you were interested in, totally not necessity
no.
at all, but no. it seems like the end result from each of them kind of turned out differently.
Yeah.
One of them brought value to your life. The other really didn't. But
no.
Yeah. So that's,
but
that's
sucked a lot of my time.
Because
you got to figure out how to set up the thing as a Mac or how to handle it when Windows and all the frustrations.
Right. So
there.
That was more of a time suck, yeah. and a stressor. And then now this,
it's just
is a way to spend leisurely time.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully soon quality time.
Rest.
With you.
Well, I would love to play soon. You taught me that National Parks game.
Oh, Parks. That's also a great game.
Yes. I'm still learning that. You can't, you learn like 4 games a month. I can't even, I have to dive into the game, master the crap out of it, and then I am ready to move on to the next
game. Okay.
And that's why you will never win again after.
Oh, no, I know. Once you've played like, I might have a good one or two. Games, and then you'll just, it'll all click, and I'll never win again.
Well,
that's
because
okay.
context and strategy are my top two strengths,
like
finder strengths,
some
and they just
lowest.
Really play well together for games. It's not, you have woo, I don't know, that's
I
my
can't
bottom.
Really woo those cards to do
no,
what they can't do.
People like you, though. Well, they don't always
I don't
like
know about
me.
The birds, though. So, yeah, that's good. It's, yeah, I've never regretted Wingspan. Mm.
Good. Cool. I learned something about you.
There's also a little 3D dice tower that looks like a birdhouse to roll your dice in.
Excellent.
It's a delight.
Let's play.
Yes. All right.
Are we going to flip it?
Yes. When we come back, Amanda spills it all. Hey guys, Jonathan here. We're having a great conversation about money, not a, you know, fight or underhanded comment or eye roll or sigh in sight. We want the same thing for you. There's going to be more details about something really special that we've been working on at the end of the episode, but I don't want to hold us up any longer. We're going to hop right back in. Keep listening to the end to hear about this very special project that we've been working on. All right, guys, we are back. During the break,
I teased my regret.
I'm just going to let it out there. Amanda turned to me and goes, I don't know if I have a regret.
No, it's so funny because when you were talking earlier, you were like, all I remember is the bad things I've done with money.
I've been dragging this
even
thing behind me for 10 years.
I've done. And then I told him, I only think about the good things I've done. Do I have any bad things?
And then she remembered one.
I did.
And it is a doozy.
It is.
All right.
I mean, in my defense, I have bigger, boringer ones.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's not even a word. But they're like business decisions we've made.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
just stupid and boring.
This is
going
to be
whatever.
Way better to talk about.
Yeah, this one's better.
And I feel it too, man. I'm with you on this one. Okay, what is it? What is a purchase you regret?
A purchase I made that I regret. And to be honest, we should have just returned them. We didn't even consider it. I don't know what we were holding hope. Here's what
I didn't even think about that until now.
Okay, no one.
Could have returned
the twice as nice guarantee.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. People want to know. Last year.
Last year.
2020. You know, it
what
just,
could go wrong went wrong in 2020, perfect, and it went all the way through the end of the year for us.
Thing. Yeah.
Paint the picture, babe.
We wanted to get a wine advent calendar.
We've seen these before. We saw them probably the year before. We're like, oh, that's kind of funny.
And then it sold out quick.
And then we're just like, oh, so then we should get one of those. Right. That's great. So we wanted, that's fun.
We went into Costco one day in October, saw they had them.
Saw them. I go, oh, we're wow, like, that's oh, cool.
Okay, cool.
We'll have to get one of those.
Let's go rearrange the budget or whatever. And then,
or we just thought, it's October. We don't need that yet.
Yeah, it'll be around, so we'll get it. Oh, we went back 3 days later. Gone
I think
skis.
It was one day later.
Gone skis. The things were sold out. So we were like, okay, well, moving on from that. Then somehow we ended up at Aldi.
We saw it in the Aldi ad. We saw it in Aldi. It was the ad for like, come in next week.
Yes. So we went the morning it morning came
of release.
Out. Morning release.
I got one of the last like 3 ones.
Mm-hmm. And we got the wine advent calendar.
Uh-huh.
And then they also had a cheese pairing.
The cheese.
They had a cheese pairing advent calendar. Mm-hmm. Now, they did not have the cheese calendar at our Aldi.
That's right.
We happened,
it was a smaller guy.
Yeah. But we were yapping our mouths about this. So our friends knew we were excited about
it. At a different Aldi.
And some friends of ours were in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to pick us up one. And of
they
course,
sent
you know,
a picture over text.
Yeah.
Hey, you want one of these?
We said, absolutely, bring it up. Yes, we'll pay you for it. Great, thank you. They brought it. We eagerly
waited
for the start of Advent. And then we cracked.
Or Advent calendar, Advent, December 1st.
Yeah, we don't need to get into the whatever. Anyway. We cracked into the first bottle. We opened the first cheese, and we were completely underwhelmed in every way.
Mm-hmm.
In every way.
The bottle of wine was small.
It was super small, and honest to goodness, their 295 Winking Owl tasted better than what was in the
And this, I forget what, I did
and
the
I
math.
And I like Winking Owl.
I think it was landing somewhere in that like... What was it? Like the $8 to $12 a bottle range.
Yeah.
Which is much more than we usually spend.
On wine, yeah. We usually buy the
We buy the cheap stuff, but
wine.
It's good. Or,
but, you know, this was a special thing.
For us.
Yeah. We're going to split a bottle every evening, have our little bit of cheese.
Split a bottle.
And the taste was just bad. The wine wasn't good. The cheese. There were only like 4 or 5 different kinds. They didn't really have a variety.
Yeah,
they just kept recycling.
You got 12 of them, and then they repeated,
and maybe
2 of them were great.
And honestly, yeah, maybe, yeah.
The rest were like,
It was like the white cheddar.
And they were small.
They were super small.
So small. I mean, the wine bottle was small.
Yeah.
And then the cheese was even smaller.
Yeah, so sounds like my regret is also your regret.
It's a shared regret. Sorry.
Taking my story over.
I want to learn more about why you regretted it, though. So we're going to get that. It's going to be a thing different for us.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so why did I regret this purchase?
Why do you regret this purchase?
Well, one, now that I look back and realize that Aldi has that twice as nice guarantee, we could have returned it. But here's the deal. You never knew what you were going to get next.
It's true.
So I was always kind of on the line, hanging, waiting in hope that they save the best for last, but they never did. So at the end of it, you kind of feel pathetic trying to return it.
Sure.
That's just weird.
I'm going to bring back my wine advent calendar on Christmas Eve when there's one bottle left.
It doesn't make sense. So I just kept hoping for the best, but then being let down to the point where we didn't even want to eat it anymore.
Were over that cheese.
I'd give the kids the cheese.
I persevered.
We weren't even drinking the wine. We had like a bunch of them.
It was just a bunch of ones we don't even like. So
they
like, I'm not even going to try.
I don't like the hyper sweet and all that. It wasn't a great fit. But really, why I regret the purchase is I love efficiency. I love efficiency. You know this.
You know this
about me. I'm not like...
What does that mean?
I really like resources that are super streamlined, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
So if I'm going to spend $100 on an advent calendar of wine and cheese, I want it to be a positive experience. Mm-hmm. $100 is not nothing to me.
It's not jump change.
It's not nothing to me. Like, we really, you know, had to wiggle some things around to make that work. But it was just such a letdown.
Mm.
So if someone's going to ask me to pay that level, I expect something that's quality. And so I like when our resources work hard for us. I love efficiency. And this was just a situation where it was like the amount of money that I put out didn't match with the return, the returned experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt really inefficient and a waste of $100 when we certainly could have used it towards something else that probably would have brought me more joy or satisfaction.
Could have made Christmas more exciting.
So it was just disappointing. It was disappointing that it was kind of that opportunity cost of, I could have taken this $100 and put it on something really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a crystal ball though. I can't see that. And we don't always get that with our financial decisions we make. And so I've had a number of regrets kind of along these same lines of, I end up with the gift of hindsight, realizing my money could have been better utilized elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of those things for me that just gets my goat and angers me.
One of the differences between us is maybe evidenced by our wish lists.
Mm-hmm.
I really like things.
I hate things.
And you really like experiences and outings.
My wish list is full of hiking boots.
Yeah.
So things to go do something.
How does this, right? Like, I can see, and I certainly was let down on the things you were saying. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm with you. Maybe even the majority of my feelings.
Sure.
But I can certainly see it as, I like things, and this was not a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you view that? How does your enjoyment of experience color your regret?
Well, I mean, we've had many other... So around the time last year when we bought this for about $100, we had also just come off of an anniversary dinner night out where we had also spent $100 and we went out with some good friends. That was an amazing night.
It was a blast.
It was delicious food. Incredible. It was just a happy hour.
Yeah.
So if that's given you any knowledge of how much this place cost. But the drinks were so good.
Drinks were good.
They were on par. The food was delicious. The company was incredible. And so we burned through $100 in 3 hours. And this was, you know, much more than 3 hours spread over all of Advent.
Mm.
It wasn't even comparable in the level of satisfaction
for
me. So if I'm going to burn a hundy, hey, if it's going to be a high quality, right on the money kind of experience that is up my alley, I'll spend $100 in 10 minutes. If it's going to be the best 10 minutes of my life and exactly what I want, then I will. But to spend $100 on something that ultimately is just a disappointment, and I may have had more fun just watching it go up in flames, that's a disappointment to me.
Yeah.
Because the experience was lost.
Mm-hmm. You've said, when you look back, you have this feeling. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime feeling. It's looking, that could have gone better.
Yeah,
that would have been better if I would have done this, but I'm not. How do you handle that to not be a curse of always second-guessing yourself? Or maybe you do.
Did you just do that to set me up?
No.
You know that I second-guess a lot of things. Have you learned
anything to get better at this? Because, I mean, you could always go, I could have had a coupon when I bought this, or I could have gone to the other store. Every little purchase could be scrutinized this way.
Sure. And no, I don't fall into that
in
my everyday situation. I tend to save it for bigger things. It just, opportunity cost matters. And if you don't know what that means, it means, okay, I could spend this $100, $500, $5,000 on X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I do that, great, I do it. But if I didn't, what else could I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
That is opportunity cost. You have to be aware of all the things that you could have done, because there may be a different thing you should choose that would put you in a far better position to then afford or whatever the present thing that maybe you want.
The cheese and wine advent calendars from Aldi didn't only cost us $100. It cost us $100 and all the other options we could have made with that $100.
Yes, right. Hey, if I would have put that extra into our Roth IRA, I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars over the next 30 years. That's a big opportunity cost. And I'm disappointed
now
that
I'm
didn't.
Really upset
now
at that cheese.
Now I'm ticked.
I'm sending Aldi a bill.
10 grand, please. No, but really, I'm always analyzing things from that standpoint. I mean, on my computer right now, I have a spreadsheet with 5 scenarios of kind of how this next year could go. Uh-huh. Because I love having all the information spelled out. And if I'm going to walk into a situation, and again, I didn't sweat over this with the Aldi thing. It was $100.
Yeah.
I really didn't sweat around that. But some of those bigger ticket things, yeah, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to analyze, hey, if I go left, here's what the next 18 months, hey, even 15 years could look like. If I go right, this is how it could look instead. And I want to compare and contrast those things. And I like pro cons. I am Rory Gilmore from Gilmore Girls and the classic pro con list. And I'm doing all the math equations for different things. And in my scenarios that I've got on my computer, I'm even tracking of these 5 scenarios, what does that retirement number look like? I'm tracking 35 years down the road because I got to know.
Yeah.
And to be honest, among the 5, some are looking a whole lot better than others.
Interesting.
So money's not the only thing that drives me forward.
Yeah.
It isn't. It's not always about money. But I think it should be a factor and something to consider. And if somebody's going to waste my money or give me a disappointing experience for my money, well, I'm not too happy about it.
All right. So we've talked about
the
disappointing, the time opportunity really cost you. What is a time, a purchase that you or we have made that you think went really well and you're very, if you had a time machine, you'd keep going back and keep making that same decision.
I have 2. Can I have 2?
Yeah, you can have 2.
One of them's tiny-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The other's bigger.
Okay.
Number 1.
Yeah.
The refurbished Vitamix.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't see that coming.
No,
tell
you
me
didn't.
More. So our very fancy blender.
So, yeah, we... In 2015,
it was a while ago,
I was starting a special autoimmune protocol diet, and we were going to be basically cooking every single meal at home for the foreseeable future, because we were just kind of unpacking and discovering some major food allergies for me and trying to figure them out. And so we decided to kind of double down on kitchen gear. And we love America's Test Kitchen, and they could not speak highly enough of the Vitamix.
Yes.
Now, we didn't want to spend $400, so we went and got a refurbished one on Amazon for, I want to say, like $280 or $290. I mean, this is not...
Still felt like a whole lot of money for a blender.
I mean, yeah, for a blender. I mean, you think of a blender, you think $50.
Hamilton, but, was it Hamilton Beach?
Yeah, that's
whatever
like
that
$30
is.
Or $40 blender. Yeah. I mean, they're nothing, right? They're just a throwaway appliance. A Vitamix is not a throwaway appliance.
Baby.
The thing is a freaking workhorse. We have used that Vitamix so hard in the last 7 years or 6 years, whatever it's been. We have more than got our money out, and it is still trucking today. Now, I can tell it's starting to kind of like...
Well, I think some of that there's some little wear and tear from the
little bit of wear and tear. The kids get a hold of it and they crank it out of control.
Crank a little too hard. I think it just needs to be tightened.
I mean, I can tell that sometimes it's running a little hot, you know, than it used to, but it's still completely functional. And I would do it again when this one dies, and we will use it until it dies. I'm just going to get another one.
Yep. I'll say this in praise of your choice. I didn't know a blender could blend so well until we got this.
And
like,
wasn't
the
just
smoothness,
for, yes,
the quality of the blend. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a blender could do that.
Mm-hmm. Or that it wasn't just about making smoothies.
The soup is
we make
velvety,
soup in it.
Smooth.
I have made coconut flour. I've made almond flour.
Golden
I've made
flax.
Rice flour. I mean, yeah, we've ground so many things. We've made pizza sauce. We
popcorn
make
salt.
So many things in there. And yeah, it's great. We love it. Mm-hmm. It's 100% come back to us time and time and time and time and time again in not only the work it's provided for us and the time savings, but then the quality of our cooking experience.
Great pick.
Great pick. It was a solid purchase.
I mean, talk about positive opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's unlocked. It's almost reverse, right? Because the money, like we paid the money there, but because we paid that, or because we have this thing now, it's almost like it's like this swapped out opportunity cost thing, because we don't have
giving.
To spend the money on oat flour.
Yeah.
We can just buy cheapo oats.
Yes,
and make our
make
own
flour. Exactly.
Or whatever it is.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
We've made peanut butter. We've made all coconut milk. All the things. All the things we've made with that.
That's huge, man.
Yeah. So it's given us great culinary experiences and in many ways put money into our back pocket because of the savings.
Wow.
Not only from avoiding out to eat, but also the ability to do certain things in our own kitchen that most people pay other people to do. So...
That's
bada bing,
huge.
Bada boom. That's my smallish
one. Okay, okay. Tell me the biggie.
You
want to
hear about
the
big one?
Tell me the biggie.
I mean, if you've listened to this podcast for more than 2 seconds, you know what my big one's going to be. The RV.
Mm.
The RV.
What a pick.
I will admit.
What a pick.
I was really nervous the day we bought this RV. I was actually regretting it in the week and a half after we bought the RV.
Wait, it's a major... buyer's remorse.
We had huge buyer's remorse. There were a few things that we didn't know were needing repaired that majorly needed like we could not spend a night in the thing because it had black mold. I mean, in certain window panels. So we had to gut the walls and rebuild. So that process I was not happy with. But looking back, I know we've done a podcast episode on this, and I know we shared the details. Guys, we paid $3,500 for a Class A RV with 70,000 miles on it. In complete working condition, we paid $3,500 for a vehicle that had beds, a kitchen, and a bathroom in it.
And a heater.
And a heater, a house
on
wheels. You can't even nowadays buy a crappy, rusted out 2007 van, the other car we drive. You can't even buy that because of the RV market's gone wild.
Car market's gone
car
wild.
Car market's gone
Everything's
wild.
Gone upside down.
And so we got this thing just at the right time, kind of before the pandemic made RV travel go nutso.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has been a great, great, great tool for us.
What makes it stand out?
Let's go back to experiences.
There it is.
That's where it is. The first couple months we were antsy and anxious. Mm-hmm. Me, probably because we weren't out in it.
You paid this money, you weren't getting this experiential
get
result.
Me out. Get me out into the great outdoors. Mm. You, on the other hand, was just we paid this money and we keep paying money.
Because
we
got to
fix
it. Yeah,
so it's just costing and costing and costing. And you, that was hard for you.
Uh-huh.
not seeing any sort of payoff. Hmm. And it was tinkering that's not really up your alley. You're into electronics and things like that.
Software,
not manual labor.
I'm not. I'm handy.
With wood working and all that.
I'm handy.
You've gotten handier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks to this RV.
So, hands down, I mean, $3,500, I mean, that's half a Disney vacation. Mm-hmm. But we got an RV that now we've had the opportunity since we bought it. I haven't calculated up the number, but I want to say we've probably spent over 2 months in it consecutively from all of our trips, maybe more. Mm-hmm. 2.5 or 3 months of our lives have been inside that RV, spending quality time with each other, enjoying ourselves, slowing down, relaxing.
Seeing some incredible sights.
Oh, man, just being out in the beauty of nature, going to explore new foods, places, everything that we enjoy. We get to go to, and we get to take our house with us. That is the best
part. Our own. We don't have to pack up every single night.
Oh, I hate hotels.
Move to a new place.
Yes.
Kids are in the same bed, so they're not getting all crazy.
Yeah. For a couple of years in a row, we were going on these big trips out to visit your family every summer. And just the, you know, hotel night here, another hotel here, another 3 nights at this hotel, another 2 nights at that hotel. Now we're on the way home. 3 nights here, 1 night here. The kids, by the end of that,
I was wrecked.
We didn't even know what state we were in. We didn't know what day it was. And the kids were just
even worse,
beyond wrecked. And we could not get them to nap in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. It just never worked. But with the RV, almost all of that is out the window.
Because it's their bed.
Yeah. It is their bed, their blanket, their everything. And it's all a familiar atmosphere, and we get to drive down the road, and they get to play with stuff at the table or watch a movie. They can get up and go to the potty really quickly and then get back in their seatbelts. And so the trip isn't taking 3 times longer than it should. Just the RV has given us memories and experiences, but it has also made travel a whole heck of a lot easier. And so that's my efficiency and my experiences kind of marrying together. And I could go back to that RV 100 times and make that decision over and over and over again. It's won me over. We are RVers.
Yeah. That purchase has, it's
cemented it.
It's brought about a very, I don't know if I'd say change, maybe a big change in our family, in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Stand behind it.
That's a big one.
That and the Vitamix.
Oof.
Now, I know we just wrapped up the conversation and we've been chatty.
Yes.
We've been chatty. Is there a purchase of mine that I didn't say that you would say you weren't happy with?
Oh, boy.
Let's bring in a little more controversy here. If you can't think of one, that's fine. I can think of a few for you.
Of course you want to ask this question. Here, honey, why don't you maybe think of something that's not a big deal, and then I'll hit you with it. Boy, oh boy.
We value different things.
We do.
We do.
I know there's things. I'm like, why did we buy that?
Oh, you're blanking. I'm sorry I put you on the spot.
I know I've felt that feeling.
Of like, why did she buy that?
Oh, are you serious? Or like, all right. I mean, I guess we budgeted for that. But I don't think I'd buy that.
For you.
Ooh, what is it?
Anytime I have ever hired cleaning help, that's a hard pill for you to swallow.
I can see its utility.
But you struggle with that.
Interesting.
You've always kind of found a sideways way to let me know it wasn't your favorite.
It's not my favorite.
Anyway,
but it did help.
I put that. If you think of another.
Sure. No, there's. It's usually things. I'll give you this. There are things you'll buy. Like usually, it's like kind of like decor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
or whatever. I'm like, really? More pillowcases or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. But, you know, over time it's nice.
It creates a homey environment.
Yeah.
And then you appreciate that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let you off the hook all the way. I know there's things I probably still don't like that you've purchased, but I can't remember.
Okay. Maybe you'll have to remember.
Bonus episode.
In. Yeah. Drop in another time.
Okay. All right. What is it?
For you? I mean, I don't really have a ton. And I can't really... I'm not mad at you about any of them because you use your fun money to pay for them.
Exactly. There
you so go. It's all yours. And so you get to decide whatever you do with that amount.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely on you. But... Basically, all the little tech crap, the tech crap that you buy, you bought something that's wrist thing that is supposed to like...
The Amazon Halo.
Yeah, it's supposed to figure out your tone of voice and then tell you when you're not using a good one. How many times would I be like, Jonathan...
Check your wrist thing.
Check your wrist. Your tone sucks.
No, I'd say it helped. It helped. There were times because you could hit a button and then kind of bookmark the conversation to look at your stats later.
Or another time you bought some like what's that Facebook show thing, Facebook video thing.
That was an Amazon show.
Okay,
and that was free.
It was the car Alexa. It was
the car Alexa's awesome.
It's never hooked up. It's never
what nope. It broke. It just got a new one.
No, it's always what? Disconnecting. No. It never works.
It's
not connected
great.
To my phone. It won't talk
connect
to it.
To my phone.
Well, you're not.
Yeah. Well, if I connect to your phone, then it doesn't connect to mine.
Who drives more?
Who's gonna use it more? Why would I connect to yours? Anyway, you're never gonna use it.
All the tech stuff is not my favorite, and that's okay.
But you know, hey, some of those things. Like there is, I don't have the thing anymore.
I know.
Eventually, I sold it.
So what I've learned about you over the years is you get bored. You kind of get on a jag. You're like, I got to get this. I got to get it. I got to get that thing. I got to get this thing. I got to get this thing. It's going to be the thing. It's going to be the best. It's going to be awesome. And then you get it. And then about 3-4 weeks go by. The thing has now let you down or gotten commonplace, lame, and now you saw a new Facebook ad for a new thing, and now that's the thing, but you got to sell the thing you got bored with so you can afford the new thing, and that's just your cycle.
And that's what I do.
And that's okay. Did I get you?
Hilarious.
Do I know you?
Oh, you got me. That's good.
Anyway, so we are having this conversation. You know, this topic...
But it was fun, man. We're laughing.
Yeah,
I'm laughing
at
myself
time.
Here.
I'm not mad at you. You're not mad at me. But I would say a lot of times people sit down to have a conversation like this. Oh, it gets ugly.
Turns. I don't even know if they sit down to have the conversation.
No. It's shouting.
The conversation came at them.
Mm-hmm. You bought what? Mm-hmm. It's Beast from Beauty and the Beast. and it would be... Or if someone did bring up a purchase that was a regret, there would be nose rubbing, there would be shaming, just unhealthy patterns. And we love teaching couples how to communicate about money in a fun, easy, simple, safe way that is positive and encouraging. And that's why we're so excited to be opening the doors. We have been working on this for years, this resource, to a brand new Merge Your Money, Become a Team Handling Your Finances course.
Yeah.
We're going to run a live workshop. It's going to be a series. So there's going to be a few different sessions that we host live for this beta run of the class. And we're inviting engaged couples, newlyweds, and then people who've been married for a while but have just never really gotten down to the foundation and gotten that financial conversation to really solidify around and get on the same page with, they've never done that. So we are opening up the enrollment to that this week.
That's right. Yes. It's open.
Where can people go?
So we want you to manage your money well together. Mm-hmm. So it's walletwin.com/moneytogether.
There you go.
And you can sign up there. And this is our special, you know, our first time through, kind of like our beta testing. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to essentially have a voice, right? We're spreading it out over a few weeks so that you can give us your feedback. We can make tweaks and make this thing really great. Yeah, there's going to be an opportunity in this one for questions and answers to really help you apply this. So get in at the beginning. You get to help shape it. You get some extra help. And you get it 40% off.
Bada bing.
Bada boom.
Bada boom.
There it is.
So if you want to have these productive conversations about money that ultimately lead you to greater unity and intimacy and not strangling each other and stonewalling, join us in this beta. We are going to dive deep into kind of unpacking that past relationship that you've had with money, figuring out how you can dream about your future together, and then those practical steps on actually merging your money, creating a united system to keep your finances organized as a team. So join us. Go to walletwin.com/moneytogether, and we'll see you inside the beta. Thanks for hanging around with us during this episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the WalletWin program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode is from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.